Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Radha Madhava ki jai, Shishi Kishore Kishore ki jai, Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai, Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri the Prabhupada ki jai. Jayam Vishnu Pad Panamansa Parivraja Kacharya Ashtotada Shatta Shri Shri Madhya's Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Shri the Prabhupada ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Shri. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam tirai nashtapraishva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki paramananda pataya prema barshaksharayate sarvada sarva sevyaya shri krishnaya namostute krishne svadhamo bhagavate dharma gyana divisaha Hello, Nashtatrisham Esha Puranarko Dinodita. So today, Hare Krishna, we're reading from the 10th canto, chapter 16, texts 42 through 44. So we have 44 on the board, so I'll read 42 and 43, and then we can repeat 44. Uttamachendriya pranamanubhudhyashayatmane chigunenabhimanena ghudasvatmanubhutaye namonantaya sukshmaya kutastaya vipashtite nanavadanurodhaya vachyavachaka. Obeisances unto you who are the ultimate soul of the physical elements, of the subtle basis of perception, of the senses, of the vital air of life, and of the mind, intelligence, and consciousness. By your arrangement, the infinitesimal spirit souls falsely identify with the three modes of material nature, and their perception of their own true self thus becomes clouded. We offer our obeisances unto you, the unlimited Supreme Lord, the supremely subtle one, the omniscient personality of Godhead, who are always fixed in unchanging transcendence, who sanction the opposing views of different philosophies, and who are the power upholding expressed ideas and the words that express them. Now, text 44, we can repeat. Nama pramanamulaya kavaye shastrayonaye pravrittaya nivrittaya nigamaya namo nama nama pramanamulaya kavaye shastrayonaye pravrittaya nivrittaya nigamaya namo nama. Please repeat. Nama pramana mulaya. Pravrittaya nivrittaya nigamaya namo nama. Nama pramana mulaya. Anyone else? Nama pramana mulaya kavaye shastriyonaye pravrittaya nivrittaya nigamaya namo nama. And the word for word? Sorry. Nama. Obeisances, pramana, of authoritative evidence, mulaya, to the basis, kavaye, to the author, shastra, of the revealed scripture, yonaye, to the source, pravrittaya, which encourages sense gratification, nivrittaya, which encourages renunciation. Nigamaya, to him who is the origin of both kinds of scripture. Namaha, namaha. Repeated obeisances. In the translation and purport of the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. We offer our obeisances again and again to you, who are the basis of all authoritative evidence, who are the author and ultimate source of the revealed scriptures, and who have manifested yourself in those Vedic literatures encouraging sense gratification, as well as in those encouraging renunciation of the material world. If we did not have the powers of perception and cognition, evidence could not be transmitted. And if we had no tendency to believe in particular modes of evidence, persuasion could not take place. All of these processes, perception, cognition, persuasion, and transmission, take place through the various potencies of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord Krishna is himself the greatest scholar and intellectual being. He manifests the transcendental scriptures within the hearts of great devotees like Brahma and Narada, and in addition, he incarnates as Vedavyas, the compiler of all Vedic knowledge. In multifarious ways, the Lord generates a variety of religious scriptures, which gradually bring the conditioned souls through the various phases of re-entry into the kingdom of God. Om Ajnana Timinandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitangena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shcha. Shirupam tasya ghajamulupurim maturim goshtavatim sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shiratha krishna padan sahagana lalita shri vishakanvitamscha. Hey krishna karuna sindha dinabandha jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari vrishabhanu sate devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pungum Angai Tegrim Yat Kripam Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Piranta Swamin Hiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So first, I'd like to beg the blessings of all the senior devotees in the room. I am quite impetuous, and I keep stepping up here to speak in front of you, so please forgive me for any mistakes, and please bless me that I may say something that is at least purifying for myself. So, where we are in the Bhagavatam, Krishna has just done his wonderful dance, and he's smashed the ego of Kaliya, and he's shown his wonders to the world, and his ability to enjoy even the most terrifying circumstances, and even through terrifying circumstances, increase the love of his devotees. After doing that wonderful dance and subduing Kaliya, Kaliya's wives, in the midst of the dance, were thinking, yes, finally we'll be rid of this rascal serpent, this monster who we've had to serve and tolerate, because they're Vaishnavis. And so they were just tolerating their circumstance and going about with their worship, thinking, this is just our karma, this is just the reaction to whatever we've done, or this is a circumstance the Lord is giving us to purify us. So we just have to wait this out and continue our bhajan. But though they were extremely happy because they were thinking they would be freed from this, the shackles of this problem, because they're Vaishnavis and they're always cognizant, Prabhupada would say Krishna consciousness begins with consciousness. First be conscious, then be Krishna conscious. They were not spiteful for spite's sake. So when they saw that their husband, actually it's described that they just saw the look in his eye change. So they saw a very, very subtle difference. It wasn't that he physically surrendered or made any great show, but they actually, because serving somebody in and as intimate a relationship as a marriage, you get to know every detail about that person because they could see on a very subtle level that our husband has changed. something in his eye. He's now not as vicious. Actually, these footprints of Krishna stomping on his head, crashing down on his heads, we can see that they've changed him. And so they spontaneously started to cry out in prayer to save his life, because they could see that he was potentially becoming a Vaishnava. He had become a Vaishnava by the association of Krishna. It's actually described by their association. Their association actually fructified in his heart. So they began to offer these wondrous prayers that are actually extremely technical. These are really, really, really technical prayers, describing Krishna's glories as Bhagavan to the minutest detail. And so they've offered over and over again, Namo Nama, Namo Nama, Namo Nama. I worship you as this, I worship you as that. I worship you because you are pervading everything, you are the cause of everything, you are time itself, which manifests everything and destroys everything. I worship that Krishna. And so then we come to the verse here, which is smack in the middle of the prayers. And so I'll just try to elaborate a little bit on these three verses and what the Nagapatnis are saying, particularly because it's, again, it's quite technical, so the tendency is to just kind of gloss over it as maybe something we heard in the Bhagavad Gita or something like that. But there's some special sweetness. Thankfully, we have the words of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and we have the words of other acharyas to help churn the nectar out of this. So for people like myself, it doesn't just become another thing I coast through when I read the Bhagavatam. So first, in text 42 and 43, which come together, the Nagapatnis, because in the verse previous to that, they express that Krishna was the cause of everything. They express that everything comes from Krishna. And then they go a step further. They say, Bhuta Matrendriya Prana Manu Buddhya Shaya Mane. So to break down, this is a huge compound. Bhuta means the various elements of the world. Matra means the foundation that those elements sit on. Or it can also mean the senses, the tan matras. We hear about the tan matras. Indriya, the senses. Prana, the life airs. Manaha, the mind. Buddhi, the intelligence. And Ashaya, the very consciousness of all beings. Atmane, you are the soul of those things. So not only do they come from you, but in some way you are also them. And then they say, Tri gunena abhimanena. So Tri gunena abhimanena, guda swat manubhutaye. And by the three modes of material nature, you cause swat manubhutaye, the very soul, the swatma, the swatma of all the jivas, their very soul, anubhutaye, guda, to be covered, to be completely hidden. Guda means like a deep, dark secret. So you cause their very soul, the knowledge of who they actually are, to be completely out of their reach. And you do this by the three gunas and by giving them an abhiman, by giving them a false thing to identify with and to take shelter of. So the Nagapatnis are saying this, that you actually are all of these things, and you give the jivas facility through them to be bewildered. Then they say, Namo Anantaya Shukshmaya. So Ananta and Shukshma. They say, you are so vast and great that there's nowhere we can actually see that you aren't. Yet you're Shukshma, you're very, very subtle. We can't understand you. We can't find the limit. Sometimes we can't perceive you. We just know from Shastric evidence that you are these things. And this is bewildering to us. Ananta and Shukshma, very subtle yet unlimited at the same time, practically imperceptible. And then one of our acharyas, he gives a very interesting commentary. He says at this point, Krishna makes an objection. And he says, wait a second. You're describing that I am in some sense, or that I'm one with the jivas, and that I'm one with all of these material elements. But other learned scholars, they say that I'm different. And they say that I'm the cause, but I'm separate from them. So can you explain this? Because your prayers, they're not making so much sense. What is this? Obviously, Krishna knows. He's just bringing more out of his devotees. So then they say, Nana Vad Anurodhaya. So Nana means various, like we hear in the Shad Goswami Ashtakam, Nana Shastra Vichara Nana Nipuna, that they were expert in all of the various Shastras, the Shad Goswamis. So Nana Vada, all the various philosophies that are propounded, Anurodhaya, that are given by philosophers, they're coming from you. You sanction them. Rodaya, Anurodhaya, you sanction all of those philosophies. Indeed, Vachya Vachaka Shaktaye, your Shakti, because of your desire, is the very power that is behind words and the ideas that are used, or the ideas that are expressed through the medium of those words. It is your power that is the strength of all of those things. So the Nagapatnis, in effect, they're saying, what surprise is there that all of these scholars, they argue about different things based on the Shastra, based on the words of authoritative scripture? So many philosophers, Patanjali, Gautama, we have the Sad Darshans, their different views on the Vedas. What surprise is there, the Nagapatnis say to Krishna, that by your power, all of these people, they draw different conclusions? What surprise is there that we're speaking something that other learned people who have many disciples and have many books are speaking? What surprise is there that there's a distinction here? This is a very nice way of glorifying Krishna, because they're saying, actually, it's by your power that these things are understood. It's actually by your mercy that one can have a realization of what actual knowledge is. They say, another way to look at this Vachya Vachaka Shaktaye is there are many meanings for various words, and thus many philosophies may be churned from the Shastras. So it depends on one's perspective. Again, it depends on one's mercy, the mercy that one gets from Krishna in order to understand these things. And then the Nagapatnis, they say something that's quite interesting. First, there's an external version, and then there's an internal version, which one of our acharyas has given us. So, text 44 is Namo Pramanamulaya, the one that we recited. Namo Pramanamulaya. We offer our obeisances to you, who are the very root of all Shastric evidence. All of these things that these people quote, and they claim, and they fight each other with, and they say, no, it's this, and it's this, and it's this, and God is one, but God is different. But God is alone, but God is together with all of his parts and parcels. All of these fights that are happening, the basis for which they happen is you. Kavaye Shastra Yonaye. You are the original author, Kavaye, and you are Shastra Yonaye. So Yoni means womb. So you are the very womb that these Shastras come from. You are the origin of them. You're the foundation that they rest upon. Pravrittaya, Nivrittaya, there's Pravritti Marg and there's Nivritti Marg. So Pravritti Marg is the path of enjoyment, which is expounded in the Vedas, Nigamaya. Pravritti Marg and Nivritti Marg is the path of renunciation. Both of these are expounded in the Vedas, and they ultimately come from you. O Krishna, the Nagapatnis pray like this. Namo Nama, Pravrittaya, Nivrittaya, Nigamaya, Namo Nama. So we worship you, who these things are coming from. Now this is the external version. But our wonderful Acharya, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives something else, which is pretty wild and in some ways inconceivable. So the Nagapatnis, they say, Namo Pramana Mulaya. In the previous verse, they said all of these things, that people may churn this Vachya, Vachaka, Shaktaye. They may understand different words with different meanings. They take these pramanams and they use them to fight in different ways. And so the Nagapatnis, they say, honestly, we can't really understand all of that. So what do? Namo Pramana Mulaya. We take shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We take shelter of the very Mula Pramana, the deepest Praman that one can take shelter of. And this brings to mind a beautiful verse. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Premam Pumarta Omahan. So Prabhupada would often quote this. He would often say, Prema Pumarta Mahan. He would say, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Prema Pumarta Mahan, that the highest welfare, the highest goal that one can strive for, in the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is Krishna Prema. But This whole verse, it's actually quite long. It's in the same meter as the Sadgoswami Ashtakam. It has a lot more in it than just these three words that Prabhupada decided to choose. But he's told us these are the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So also there, just before that phrase, is Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. Of all of the evidences that one could take, of all of the things that one could look at, this Srimad Bhagavatam is Amalam. It's the most pure. It's the topmost. It's the best. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this, and the Nagapatnis, they're also saying this. They're saying, Namo Pramana Mulahaya. And they say, Kavaye, we offer our obeisances to that Vyasadeva, who wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam, who realized it and understood it, and then gave it. Shastra Yonaye. And then, they quote from the Vedanta Sutra, because in the Vedanta Sutra, the phrase Shastra Yonitva is there. So they not only show that they're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and that that is what they've taken into their heart, but they offer their obeisances to Vyas, and then to show that they understand the writings of Vyas, they quote from Vedanta Sutra. And they say, Pravrittaya, Nivrittaya, all these things are given, Nigamaya, Namo Namaha, but we take shelter of you who are that Srimad Bhagavatam. We take shelter of you. So by this, they proved that Bhagavatam is the topmost scripture by quoting it, because what else can you do? You have the highest pramanam, and you're speaking to Krishna. So they quoted to the Lord the Bhagavatam in order to gain mercy for Kaliya. They quoted the Bhagavatam. And I found this very interesting because our acharyas, they tell us that, yes, what to do? All we can do, we want to glorify the Bhagavatam, all we can do is quote from the Bhagavatam, because nothing else really does it justice. You have the topmost thing and you want to glorify it in the topmost way. What else can you do? So in the 12th canto, we have this very beautiful verse. Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate Tadrasam Rita Chiptasya Nanyatra Shad Prati Kuchit Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate. Srimad Bhagavatam is said to be Sarva Vedanta Saramhi, without a doubt. He means certainly. Without a doubt, the essence of the length and breadth of the Veda. Tad Rasam Rita Triptasya. And for one who has tasted that nectar, the nectar of the rasa that's given in the Bhagavatam, Tat Rasam Rita. For one who has tasted that nectar, Nanyatra Shad Rati Kuchit. There's no possibility of being attracted by anything else. There's no possibility of anything else actually feeling worthwhile. Not intellectually being worthwhile, but actually feeling worthwhile. So again, this can sound very high. We hear these types of things often, that this is high, this is for someone who's actually realized the Bhagavatam, he tastes it. When I read the Bhagavatam, I fall asleep. We have this. We have two ISKCON sleeping pills. The first one is japa. And if you're a real insomniac and you really have trouble sleeping, then we'll give you the extra strength dose. We'll give you the Bhagavatam. It's a one friend of mine, he would say, you can tell the real sincere devotees. And this isn't going to apply to all of you because you actually have some taste for the Bhagavatam. Therefore, you're awake. But he would say, you can tell the real sincere devotees in the new people that come by the ones that fall asleep in the Bhagavatam class. In other words, we have some people come and they're yogis and they sit very straight. And they look like they're paying attention very well. But somehow or other, if you look at the new people that come, they're generally the ones that go away. Whereas the bumbling bhakta who can't keep himself awake and he's falling over every 5 seconds, somehow he sticks around for years and years and years, and then he becomes a devotee. So this Bhagavatam, we think that these things, they're only applicable to those who have some measured level of spiritual advancement. But actually, if we think about it in a deeper way, we're all undergoing this. We're all in this position of tad rasam rita triptasya nanya trishad rati kuchit. The fact that there's feeling, that there is ultimately no lasting happiness that can come from anywhere else. And even that there's no taste. I don't know about any of you, but I tried to go back at times in my devotional life and just experiment or experience something I liked before, whether it was a type of music or, for me, a particular type of humor, or any number of things can be there. A hobby. And most devotees find, or I'd be willing to wager that all devotees find, that ultimately these things don't bring the same satisfaction that they brought before. And so we're actually experiencing this Bhagavatam Rasamrita has acted upon our hearts. The only thing is now, some of us, because I can't speak for everyone, I can only really speak for myself, some of us are stuck in a bit of a limbo because we're not tasting the highest ecstasy. And also, we can't go back and taste that low ecstasy that we used to be so fulfilled by. And so what this does is it forces us, actually, this is Krishna's great mercy, that we're forced. That if you would like to actually live a life, if you'd like to actually be alive, as the personified Vedas, they speak in their eloquent prayers to Krishna. If you'd like to be more than the blacksmith's bellows, then we have to dive deeply into this Bhagavatam. We have to dive deeply into our japa, into Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we're just going to be walking through half alive, because that's Krishna's mercy. That's where he's put us. We're not going to be able to get one thing or the other. We really have to go one way. And actually, Prabhupada writes this very beautifully. I remember not really understanding this point in his commentary on the Upadeshamrita. Prabhupada writes that actually, one is forcibly dragged to the finish once he begins this process. And I always wondered about that. You know, and I just kind of compartmentalized it and set it aside, that, oh, but we have free will and there's no way that that can happen, and it's not, you know, it just didn't make, it sounded poetic, but I couldn't reconcile it with my other understanding of the philosophy and the other things Prabhupada told us. But I can see, by Prabhupada's grace, that he was pointing out this very beautiful point. That you are, that we are, that I am literally stuck in the middle until I decide to go the right way. Because what is that? Neha bikrama nashasti pratyavayana vidyate swalpam asyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobaya. That nothing is lost. There's no loss or diminution, to give exactly what Prabhupada told us. There's no loss or diminution. It means it doesn't go away. And the other things can't come back and take its place. Some part of our heart has been captured by Krishna, by the Bhagavatam, by our Guru, by Srila Prabhupada. We've been tricked. And there's no way around that. Prabhupada said that. He said, I tricked all of you. I told you this is very, I love this quote. I may have said it many times before and I'll probably say it many times again. It's because it's so beautiful. Prabhupada said, I've tricked you. I've cheated you. I told you this process was very easy, but actually it's the hardest thing. It's the hardest thing. And what can you do? You cannot stop now. You will be forcibly dragged. In other words, you have no choice but to go deep into the philosophy, deep into your japa, deep into service to the Vaishnavas. This is Prabhupada's mercy. This is the mercy of the Acharya. That even though we're unwilling and we don't want that, None of us came to Krishna consciousness and thought, yes, I want a relationship with Radha and Krishna. I want to be an eternal servant. I don't ever want to think of my own welfare ever again. None of us came thinking like that. Anyway, I won't speak for all of you. I did not come thinking like that. I came thinking, I want to be enlightened. I want to enjoy spiritual bliss. I want to be happy. I want to get away from the suffering that I've experienced. And Prabhupada, the Acharyas, the Vaishnavas, they say, yes, yes, come. That's great. Come, come, come. Come, come, come. Yes, we'll show you all of that. Chant and be happy. Chant and be happy. Chant and be happy. And they've tricked us. And that's the greatest of tricks. Because they are actually giving us all of those things, but because we're in such a diseased state, because the jaundice is so, so acute, we have to hear what we would like in order to take up what we would actually need. So it's the great mercy of the Acharyas that they've done this, of Srila Prabhupada. We're forever indebted. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he spent so much time trying to give us this book and to give us the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because he knew that these things would capture us. He knew this principle, that Tad Rasamrita Triptasya Nanyatra Shadratik, which it, if they just get a taste, it's over. We can say it's over, we can say it's begun. One thing is begun and another thing is over. The page has been turned. It's a new chapter in the book of this jiva's life. If they can just get a little taste. So this is very, very beautiful. Class, I guess, is a bit short today. I couldn't think of so much else. Rather than waffling on and trying to, you know, add more fluff to it, I wanted to try to make this beautiful point in whatever way I could. So if there are any questions or comments or corrections, then please, they're welcome. Forgive me for anything that's not been in line with our Siddhanta, or that hasn't been pleasing.
Hare Krishna, you probably thought about this, that they're offering this prayer prior to Vyasadeva's compilation of Bhagavatam.
I knew you would ask this. So, the Bhagavatam is eternal, as explained in the Sandarbhas, particularly Tattva Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami. Bhagavatam is not something that is written at any one point in time. It simply manifests at times and is unmanifest at other times. And so, we don't have the exact explanation of how the Nagapatnis heard the Bhagavatam, but they heard it because they're speaking about it. And we have to take Sri Vishwanath's word because he actually has access to those things. He's telling us that they're saying, Namo Pramana Mulaya, we take shelter of the Bhagavatam, because that's how we can find refuge from all of these other crazy philosophies out there, and all of these other things that very intelligent man with very much conviction say, this is the truth, this is the truth, this is the truth. And so, yeah, my understanding from what I've read of Jiva Goswami's explanation of this, Sri Jiva Goswami, is that Bhagavatam is eternal. It's always there. Vyasadeva just pulled it out of the ether and put it in words. So it's there. It's actually called Panchami Veda, the fifth Veda, the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, and the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told us that the Bhagavatam in the heavenly planets actually has Shatakoti verses, has 100 million verses, so many verses in that Bhagavatam. The Ramayana as well. Nityananda Pranpuru was telling us last week that the Ramayana that Valmiki wrote down has 27,000 verses. But he offers his obeisances unto that Shatakoti Ramayana, which is spoken by Brihaspati and the demigods and, you know, everybody in the higher realms of existence. It has 100 million verses. Every detail of every pastime is explicitly flushed out. The Bhagavatam is the same way. We have a very, very big Bhagavatam up there. Now, we have a very special Bhagavatam that I don't know that the Nagapatnis read. And I don't know what parts are specifically different. Because this Bhagavatam, though it is eternal, it is not manifest everywhere. When Vyasadeva was told by Narada Muni, because of his dejection, to go and glorify Krishna's pastimes more and more explicitly, he went and he rewrote the Bhagavatam. Sri Jiva, he says that Vyasadeva, he wrote down all 18 Mahapuranas, which means the Bhagavatam was there. He wrote it once, and then he went and he edited it. He rewrote it. So I don't know if the Nagapatnis read that first one or read the new one. Maybe they... The thing is, they're Vaishnavis, so they may have had some connection in a past life or some time with a guru who was conversant in these topics, which is very likely because they're in Krishna Lila. So it's... Without knowing of these things, one can't go to Krishna Lila because it depends on your conception and the type of sadhana that you do to get to Krishna Lila. So through some sort of logic, which we take with a grain of salt, because I'm not Jiva Goswami, we can understand that one can't go to Krishna Lila if one doesn't have a concept of Krishna Lila. And the Nagapatnis are in Krishna Lila, and they're glorifying the Bhagavatam. So it may be that they know this special one, but at the very least they know the Bhagavatam Vyasadeva wrote, because they're glorifying it. That's my understanding. A little bit technical, but... Hari Shyam?
So, the Bhagavatam is compiled by Vyasadeva, but like you said, it's not his exact composition. So, you said just at the end that it's clear that they read his, but it could have been another... In other words, if he appeared after them, then this Bhagavatam could have been, they've heard from maybe someone else also writes Bhagavatam in different
So, the nature of
manifestations.
Vyasadeva's second Bhagavatam is also eternal. He realized it in trance and wrote it down as well, but it's not even particularly considerable as his. Actually, Lord Shiva speaks one verse. He says, Vyaso veti na veti va. He says, Aham veti, Shuka veti, Vyaso veti na veti va. I know, this is Lord Shiva speaking to Parvati. Shukadeva Goswami knows. Veti knows means knows the Bhagavatam. Vyaso veti na veti va. Vyas may know, or va, he may not know. So Vyasadeva, in trance, he wrote it down. But what Lord Shiva is telling us is that actually, he may not have a full conception of what he's written, which is astounding. But again, this is coming from the Puranas. It's coming from Lord Shiva himself in our explanation. Prabhupada's quoted this verse as well, Vyaso veti na veti va. We generally understand this in reference to Sri Guru, that Guru, he acts as a medium for Nityananda Prabhu, and he may not be fully cognizant of absolutely everything, but he's perfectly in touch with that higher energy. And in that way, he can give perfect guidance. Prabhupada would say he's a clear via medium. So Vyasa Veti Na Veti Va, this is what the Shastras tell us. So they may have heard this eternal special Purana that's in a compartment that not everybody gets to hear, which we call Vyasa's Purana because he had the realization. But it didn't come about at any point in time when Vyasa, it's not linear, in other words. Vyasa's realization did not birth that Bhagavatam. It simply comes through him. Vyasa Veti Na Veti Va. Actually, our acharyas, in their expositions of Chaitanya Lila, have given us some point in this, in that Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is Vyasadeva himself, wrote the Chaitanya Bhagavat. But somehow he didn't have full realization of the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami came, and he wrote the deep, deep understanding of who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. So our acharyas have also explained that this shows Vyasa Veti Na Veti Va. He knows, he writes, but he may not have full realization. He may or he may not. We don't say he doesn't, but he may or he may not.
I was reflecting on this point you made about how the, we get kind of tricked into Krishna consciousness, and then we get pulled along the way. And I was thinking about that verse in the Bhagavatam that says, "Once you have tasted the nectar of bhakti, and although one may fall away from the path, one will never forget that taste." And Sri Vishwanath says, "One will remember what it was like, and that taste will bring him back." So I was wondering. I always thought that you could say the pulling feature of bhakti was the taste you experience. You're bringing out another aspect that actually it's like a transcendental plot from the side of the acharyas to kind of pull us along the way. And I was wondering if you could expand on this a little bit more, because I never thought about it like that before.
Well, it's kind of a, what you're saying, the tasting experience is part of the plot. So that they kind of go together. It's definitely a tasting experience, which is why that verse in the end of the Bhagavatam says this tat rasamrita, tasting that nectar. So remembering that taste and feeling that it's superior to all other tastes, one eventually will come back. Because that's what creates the futility in everything else. You may have been able to enjoy so many other things. It's like Prabhupada used an analogy. He said that one who has eaten ghee sweets will never be satisfied with the other cheap sweets. He may go to them when he's really hungry and really just is craving something, but at the end of the day, the only thing that will bring him full satisfaction is sweets made with ghee. First class ghee, Prabhupada would say. So if you've been to Govardhan, you go to the Sri Giriraj Mishtan Bhandar, they're probably one of the only sweet shops in Vrindavan that still only uses ghee. And they very much pride themselves on what they do, and it's generations and generations of families of the family that's been doing that. And when you have their Son Papri, this is Son Papri. There's nothing else in the world, at least I've tried a lot, and I've spoken to a lot of people about this. Nothing else in the world satisfies like that. So the Bhagavatam is like that. When you get that, or the dokla, when you can have dokla from a million other people, but nothing satisfies like the dokla from Sri Giriraj Mishtan Bhandar. One, it's made at the foot of Govardhan Hill. So that's some special thing. So this is a material example to display this thing, this Tadrasamrita. Once tasting something superior, you can't get anything else. Prabhupada would say this. He would say our process is not about removing things, it's about putting good things in. Once you get that which is superior, and you see, devotees actually tolerate so many materially adverse circumstances just to be around devotees. They give up so many things. They live in communities that in many places are very, very difficult to be in, that are very, very, you know, broken down. And it's because something in their soul is telling them, no, I have to stay here. This is the only place I'm going to get any satisfaction in life. My life has changed. Things are different. And actually, it's very interesting because the acharyas are carrying out the plot. They're carrying out this plot, but it's actually Krishna that's doing it. There's this 1088.8, Prabhupada Sannyas verse. What is that? Yasyaham anagrinnami harishetad dhanam chanai tajantyasya taddhanam tato dhanam tajantyasya swajjana dukha dukhida. Krishna says that for devotees, my mercy is that I take things away from them. And I keep them in that state of limbo. And if they try to enjoy, then I take away whatever that enjoyment is. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if my devotee is such a fool that he still wants to enjoy things, I'll give him what he wants to enjoy. I'll give him those things, but I'll give it in such a way that he doesn't want them anymore. I'll frustrate him to no end. So Krishna is saying, beyond this point that, okay, you tasted something superior and now just the rest won't be tasty. He's also saying, if you still want the things that aren't tasty somehow or other, you still have these two things existing side by side. You can't make a decision. Krishna says, I'll make the decision for you. Go chase after it. And I'll give it to you in such a way that you lament ever wanting it. And if it has to go to that point, he says, Taddanam chajantyasya swajjana dukha dukita. I'll take things away from you until even your family leaves you. Because they're embarrassed by you, because they don't want, because they chajantyasya, they give you up. Why do I do this? He says, Hadishe, and then he says, Kadishe. Because that way I can actually give you the mercy that I want to give you. In the next verse, he says, that's the only way. Because Krishna is only interested in love. And as they say in the Bible, and I don't quote the Bible very much, God says, I'm a jealous God. He wants love. And if you turn to him and start to show, then he'll say, no, this is good for you, it's good for me. We're going to cut the ties. It may take time. And he's also not brutal. Krishna's not brutal. All this is very beautiful. But it's also, we should, it's grave as well. It's not, Prabhupada was very, he's a Nitya Siddha. Prabhupada's a Nitya Siddha, so he was demonstrating something to us. But even in his Leela, he demonstrated an extreme level of frustration with his family life. And he demonstrated that he tried so hard to give them space and allow them to just come to devotion naturally. And they just, even though he left them alone and gave them a whole floor of his house to do whatever they wanted, they still, particularly his wife, still spited him. All the way to the point where she sold his Bhagavatam for tea biscuits. He went and traded his Bhagavatam for tea biscuits in weight. And then when he went and told his godbrother about this and told him about his suffering and about his dreams he was having from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he spoke this verse, 1088.8. He said, this is what's happening. Krishna's taking these things away from you. He's taking them away from you because he's telling you, you have to take something better. Take it. Take this sannyas. Take fully to bhajan. So Prabhupada also demonstrated this for us. And his disciples have written it down for us to understand. Something like that, yeah, it's on one side, it's just the taste, but then on the other side, there's also something more. And we see Prabhupada's deep faith in this because he wrote, one is forcibly dragged. Those are the words he used. I don't remember the words around that exactly, it's just to the kingdom of God, but he says, one is forcibly dragged after starting. So, what to do? We're very lucky we've been tricked. Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Kishore Kishore ki jai, Shri Gornitai ki jai, Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai, Shri Giriraj ki jai, Vaishnava Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.